Mom, stop! This is like scarring me for life. Okay, can we just get this over and done? Oh, Yaka, don't want to know that. This is like weird, Mom. Oh my god, this is gross. Oh my god, Mom. Oh, Mom, stop!
My mom was a porn star.
I'm Honey, otherwise known as Miss Honey Anal Worker.
And I'm Maz.
And this is...
My mom's a porn star.
Good shit that, eh?
Apparently.
So, episode 6. We've lasted this long?
Yeah, it's been a while.
We're back in Maz's shed. It's a little bit chilly.
I'm waiting for
and
the blanket.
And foggy outside. It's like pea soup. I come over the hill and it was just like...
Into the fog. Yeah, that happened to us last night when we were driving.
Yeah, it was just like, cruising along, nice day, over the hill. So, this episode, we're getting around to questions, Q&A.
Ooh,
getting deep and meaningful.
That's just creepy.
Well, some of the questions that we asked may be a little bit creepy.
I'm scared.
Yeah, well, I put the word out there. I said, send us some questions. People, send us some questions. You got to answer what we're given.
Yes, that is true.
Yes. Should we get straight down into it?
Yep.
Actually, a lot of them are for me. A lot of them, I don't think you'd have much to say.
Probably not, but I'm here.
Man, people should have sent us some more questions. Better with questions. The questions we got were good, but we still needed more that were a variety. But hey, we'll work with what we got. So, question one. What would you tell your younger self about being a sex worker? Oh, no. Hang on. Yeah, that was it. I'm remembering it because I don't have it written.
Yeah, I was wondering. I was like, how are you remembering this?
Because the person sent it like a week ago and I don't know where I put it.
In your messages? Duh.
No, it was on a tweet.
On the tweet?
On the tweet. Well, yeah, but I've sent like 60 tweets since then. But I remember who it was from and I remember the gist of it.
Do you know how shameful it is hearing your mother just go tweet, tweet, tweet?
Tweetly, tweetly, no. Tweet. On Twitter.
Yeah, but the way you go tweet, 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 it's creepy.
Because I am fucking creepy.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Chop your head off and scoop out your eyes with a spoon.
What the fuck? I can't even...
So yes, what would I tell my younger self, or what did I wish my younger self knew about sex work before I became a sex worker? It's the basic gist of the question. So younger me, I'd thought of really good answers to this question, and now my mind's gone a blank. Oh, younger me, I wish younger me had known to get into the industry about 2 years earlier before the shit fell out of the economy, like absolute ass fell out of it between Foster Sester, the lowering economy, and then the recession that the government didn't want to admit we were going into, and then COVID, and now our actual recession. Like, if I'd gotten into sex work about 2 years earlier, I would own my own house. I joined it right on the tail end of when you could actually make money and then went... down in from there. Mm-hmm. So unless you're one of those few people at the top that make all the bank, the rest of us are just struggling to survive, just trying to make do. Yeah. So what else would I wish that I knew? I wish I would know more about health checks and STIs and that, like when I started, and risks. I wish I would have known more about the services to go to if stuff happens or you need stuff or whatever. Like the stuff where the friggin', if you have a client stealthy, oh, that's fucked when a client stealthy. That is technically legally rape in Victoria and you can be charged for that, fellas. Don't do it. It's not funny. It's rape. So if it's client stealths you only got 72 hours to take PEP, which is the medicine to stop you from contracting HIV. And the thing is, you can't just get it at any old doctor. You go to a specific place to be able to get the script for it. So there's only a few places in Victoria you can do that. I wish I knew that shit. That would be helpful instead of in the middle of the night in a long weekend and there's no friggin' hotline. The Victorian PrEP or PEP hotline, whatever it's bloody well called, only operates during business hours on weekdays. Like, what the fuck? That is not the time when most people are having sex, when most people are in the situation like, oh, fuck, the condom just broke or this just happened. I know there's somewhere I can go to get a certain something to help me stop me, you know, getting AIDS just in case. But you can't ring and find where, because, hell, they're not operating after business hours and you've only got 72 hours to go. If it's a weekend, like, what the fuck? And if you're not living in Melbourne, to get to one of those few locations that are allowed to give the script for it, fuck me. What else? Ah, do I wish to know? Oh, never, ever, ever let your guard down. Not even with regulars that have been lovely. You've been seeing them for ages, because in my experience and quite a few people I've talked to, that regulars, once you've been seeing them for a while, then they'll start pulling shit on you. It's like they lull you into a false sense of security and know that you trust them a little now to have your walls down a little. And then they'll fuck you over. Never let your walls down. Never trust anybody. Always get the money first. Always count it. I better suppose we'll find the other questions, eh?
Not at all.
What's this one?
Okay, question number 2. What made you get into full service?
Oh, yeah, full service, like full service sex work. So that's what most people think of, you know, standard sex work. Oh, is that my phone making noise? There we go. So, yeah, what most people consider, for like standard sex work. Believe it or not, your sister, it's all your sister's fault. She wanted to do that. Yeah, she wanted to do ballet. Okay. And I was a broke-ass mum, like, so I needed to get a job to be able to pay for her ballet classes. Actually, much like when you were little and you wanted dancing and I had a second job.
Did factory and a takeaway shop.
Yeah, takeaway shop was just to pay for your dancing. That's what I worked that job for.
That was a shit job.
Yeah, I did that to pay for your dancing.
I got free food though. Money when I'd come and help you.
So much like that, dancing is a bloody expensive hobby for girls. And I needed a way to find that money because she wanted to do ballet. I needed something that I could make a decent amount of money for a little amount of time that was flexible, that I could work around her school hours, because I'm got a whole lot of issues with leaving my children with anybody. I've had a lot of bad experiences with that before, so I don't trust people now. So I needed a job that was flexible that I could do while she was at school, and I could control my hours, but at the same time I could make quite a bit of money for short periods of time, and to pay for the bloody expensive ballet and all the shit you need and all the, you know, the team uniform and everything, because you're going away to comps and everything, and you got all that, and the shoes for all the different things, not to mention all the uniforms and the fucking, yes, all the things, and 5 million pairs of stockings, always going for stock. Anyway, so I did that, and I'd had friends that were sex workers previously, been telling me for years that I should do it, that I'd be good at it, and I sort of had poo-hard it and went, no, I'm doing all right. And I admit I had a bit of stigma around it that I didn't realize I had. I had no problems with my friends doing it, but for me taking that step, it seemed rather daunting and something like, you can never come back from, bum, 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 bum. And that I didn't want to take that step. I didn't think I could take that step. And also, I've always, as much as I've been a slut, I've always been a really picky slut. So I kept
thinking, Jesus, Mom.
I get standards.
You think?
My standards might not be the same as other people's standards, but they're standards nonetheless. So I kept thinking, oh no, I couldn't fuck a person that I wasn't attracted to in some level. So I was like, it was a really big mental hurdle for me to get over to take that final step and go. But once I was doing it, I was like, oh, actually, I have totally no problem with this. Oh, what was the big fucking deal about? What was all the fuss about? And then, like, the more I understood and got to, like, in the little whole sex worker community, and the more I learned, I went, actually, these people are fucking awesome. They're so proactive and freaking intelligent and all these things. And it was just like, actually, sex work is shit over the average person in general. It's like, why the fuck is there stigma against them? They're fucking awesome people. And for some years now, I'd wanted to go to uni and study sexology. So I would have to study psychology and gender studies and all that sort of stuff, because I wanted to help people with their sexuality, because to me it's so vital to mental health. And then I discovered when I started doing sex work, I was like, oh, wow. I'm getting to help people like I wanted, and I didn't have to get a university degree first. this is fucking awesome. So yeah, that was why. It was all your sister's fault.
Fair enough, Mom.
Yeah.
Okay, then. Question number three, I guess. How did sex work evolve into doing porn?
Ooh, porn.
Okay, I'm scared for this one.
This is a real story. It goes all the way back.
Oh, right? Do I really want to hear it?
Yes, you want to hear it.
Do I really, though? Yeah, that face just says I don't.
I think it's okay. I think I'm thinking, and
she thinks it's okay, which means it's not gonna be okay.
When I was a little un,
oh my god, it's already bad.
There were dinosaurs everywhere, and
I knew it. I told you.
Yep, rode pterodactyls to school. I did.
See, I said it.
Yep, yeah. And when I couldn't catch a pterodactyl, I had to walk 10 miles barefoot in the snow.
I don't think the story is supposed to start like this.
So when I was little, I had a lot of body issues, like body confidence issues. I'd been born with, you know, if people watch my porn, they might notice. Anyway, I get questions about it sometimes. I'm actually really short in the body, but I got really big hips. So it means where my belly button sits looks lower than where it does on the average person. But where it looks like where your belly button would normally be in line with your waist, where my waist is, I've got a big scar. And people ask me, going, oh, did you have your belly button cut out? I'm like, no, my belly button's there. It's just lower down. But what was actually used to be there is I had this great big mole. And I was always so self-conscious about this mole. And so that itself, so for as long as I can remember, I felt really self-conscious about my body because of the mole. And then on top of that, because like I grew up expected to work on the farm with dad and the men and not given any slack for being a girl or a kid, just like pull your weight, work hard. I was never a dainty little girl like the other girls at school. I've got that one of those physiques that I start doing hard work or weights on everything and muscle just parts piling on. So there's no such thing as little slender pixie girl me. No, you've got curvy me or you got muscly me. That's sort of like your choices. I am between being muscly compared to all the other slender girls and having this great big mole, I was always really, really self-conscious about my body. And then couple that with my family's Christian beliefs and everything, and good little modest girls and doing show things and all those sorts of things. I had real lots of mental hang-ups about my body image from a very young age. So then dad used to always have his picture and People magazines in the car. They were always just laying around on the bottom of the work ute. So for people that aren't Australian, picture and People are like the Australian versions of Playboy magazine. So I would jump in the car and there would be a naked chick, you know, spread or, you know, strutting, you know, posed confidently or whatever. And for me, I saw those women and I saw them and I went, wow, they're beautiful. They're proud of their bodies. They're confident in their bodies. I want to be them when I grow up. And for me, it was never sexual. I never saw all those pictures of those women and went, oh my God, her tits are out and she's such a slut and oh, she's being sexy. And it was never, ever looked that way to me. To me, they will look like beautiful, empowered women, comfortable and strong in their body. And that's what I wanted to be. So gosh, Drew, that was when I was little. Like, I'm talking 7, 9 years old. I'd be seeing those pictures and wanting to be those women. Not necessarily be those women, but be like those women, be confident in my body like those women and empowered. And then by the time I hit high school and I sort of understood a bit more about the world as you do, I realized they were porn stars. And I was always like, I would do porn if I had the body for it. And sort of it became my thing. It was always like, if I'm ever get the body, I'm going to do the porn, you know, sort of thing. And it's always just been the thing. And then when I joined the kink community, I learned to accept my body in all its yummy lusciousness. And that actually after a lifetime of about copying crap about my body off people and bullying and everything about my body all my life. I come to appreciate my body and love my body and see my sexiness. And then I, when I started sex work, you know, I got to really see how guys honestly did love my body and think it was sexy as fuck. And then I was like, fuck this. I'm doing porn. I don't have to wait till I have the body that I thought I always needed. I can do it now. I have the body. I am goddamn sexy. And that is how I got into porn. Was that the question? How I got into it, or how did
sex work evolve into doing porn?
Yeah, sex. Yeah. See, I answered that question. There you go. Do you feel edumacated?
Yeah.
Yeah. Were you traumatized?
Mm.
Oh. Well, obviously not, because you know when my stuff makes you sick. So see.
No, I'm more just thinking about granted right now.
Oh, yeah, that's traumatizing. Yeah, let's not think about that.
Yes.
Let's think.
Number four.
Oh, hang on. No. There's something else I want to say before we get to number four. Rightio.
I was trying to change the subject from granddad.
Okay, well, let's get our mind off that, because my dad's a dirty old pervert. So, yeah, we don't want to think about that. So, friggin', this is part of why I am so passionate about body diversity and the being able to express your sexuality online and be confident in your body and share images of yourself in your body and everything. Because me as a little girl, not only shouldn't I have felt shame about my body, but I should have been able to see images elsewhere of women with my body type, confident, you know, sort of thing, muscly women, chubby women, curvaceous women, all the different types. I should have been able to see women confident in their bodies and been inspired by them, not just the dirty magazines in the bottom of my dad's ute, you know. And I should have been able to see them confident in their bodies in artistic endeavors or whatever around the place. As a child, I should have been able to see all different examples of beautiful women of different shapes and sizes, confident in their bodies and going, this is me, I am friggin' awesome. And that... Yeah. Yeah, that's a lot of why it drives me that, fuck, we need body diversity in porn and we need body positive and sexuality positive and all those sorts of things. And don't fucking censor women. Do not slut shame and all of those things, or I will come and give you my very strong opinion quite forcibly. Yeah.
Okay. Right. Are we ready for the next question?
Yeah, I'm done now. Yeah.
Okay, question four. How did you get into kink?
How did I get into kink? Wow. Would you believe it?
It's going to be another long story.
Oh, it is. It is a long story. Okay. So, once upon a time, I was a slut.
Yeah, we all know that.
So, yeah, I was always a slut and used to always get around. I was always pretty confident in that.
Oh,
okay. No. The neighbors seem a bit excited about something, but... apparently, Mass is telling me, once they get like this, this is about as quiet as you're going to get. So we're going to push on. I'm sorry if you can hear them in the background and I can't clear them out of the recording. You're just going to have to deal with it because I only have a limited time to be able to record this.
Yes, they're closing the borders, so.
Yes, Victoria is getting locked down to his little lonesome again and everybody in the rest of the country is going, you keep your fucking COVID cooties to yourself, Victoria.
Yep.
You are not coming to play with us.
Pretty much.
Yes. So this will be the first time, the last time I'll be able to see Maz for God knows, I don't know how long. Yeah. So.
How did you get into kink?
Oh, right. Okay. Yes. So as we were saying, once upon a time, long time ago, I was a slut. And yeah, always took pride in that. And was never shy about that. And I was always a bit out there than all the other girls in our little country town. And then when I moved to Melbourne, I discovered these wonderful things called dating apps.
I remember when you started finding them.
Oh, yeah. Good old Plenty of Fish. A mate introduced me to Plenty of Fish. And it was like a catalogue of desserts. She could be like, oh, well, I'll have some of that, and I'll have some of that, and I'll have some of that.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, well, yeah, you used to complain all the time, too. You used to always be fucking whinging. Because I became a bit of a pickup slut, as you do when you have variety on offer like that. And yeah, I started like hooking up with a different guy every night, as you do. And so I was getting all these young little hotties, and I'm like, yes, I like them too. But I was always being left unfulfilled, and I was like, well, that was fun, but it was shit. It didn't fulfill whatever need it was that I needed. And then I was bitching about it to me bestie from high school, who's known me since I was like 13. And I was going, oh my God, I'm just not fulfilled. And she's turned around. She's gone, check out FetLife. I'm like, what the fuck's this FetLife? She's gone, just humor me. Go on the website FetLife. Have a poke around there and then come back to me. See what you think. Well, did I fall down the rabbit hole? I discovered I was kinky. I had no fucking idea. Because I knew I was always big into anal and shit. Like,
I don't want to know. Seriously?
Aww.
I'm going to freeze my ass off and talk about butts.
Well, the butts are nice and warm because we're sitting on the electric blanket.
It's the only thing that is warm.
We'll get under the electric blanket. So yeah, so I'd always been into that and stuff. But yeah, once I started poking around FetLife and reading up and discovered, oh, actually I'm kinky. Actually, Oh, that sounds interesting. Oh, ooh. And I also come to the realization that my submissive side that I had was actually a healthy thing and nothing to be ashamed of. Because another thing back long ago was I'd read a book, Kajara of Gore.
I don't want to know, do I?
It's a series of books, the Gore books, that there's like this whole kink subculture developed from. Oh, Maz is yawning. She's going to sleep. I'm educating her.
I've had kids for 2 weeks straight.
I know, you've been looking after your sister. So yeah, so the Gore books, and they're all like, you know, women are kept as sex slaves, blah, 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 blah. And me that had spent my life working alongside the men, determined not to be treated like any girl, and determined to be treated like just as good in as any of the men and just as strong and just as this and just as that. And no, nobody was the boss of me. Grr. And then I was reading this book that all about these women and the sex slaves and they're collared and having to do all these things. And I'm getting all little moves inside going, oh,
I don't want to know your moves.
And so I was like, oh, and then I felt so much shame about having my body having the reaction when I read these books that I put those thoughts in a very strong little mental box and put that box up on a shelf at the back of my mind, shoved it right behind a whole little shit and went, we will never ever talk about that again. It does not exist. It never happened. And promptly forced myself to forget about it as best as I could for the rest of my life. And if it dare even considered popping its head up, then, oh, we'd shove that shit right back down and bury it good and proper. So, yeah. And then through my explorations on FetLife, I got to learn about submissiveness is not weakness. It can actually be strength. It can actually be really good and really healthy. And that actually my submissive side had been fighting its way out to try and find expression in all my really abusive relationships, and that it had actually done me a lot of harm suppressing that and not getting to understand that side of me to be able to recognize that side and find healthy ways to express it. And acknowledge it, because yeah, I think it was a big factor of me staying in abusive relationships and even getting into abusive relationships. So yes, and that, my dear, is another story.
Well, I think you just answered the next question.
Oh, okay. What was it? Stuff.
It was, has kink always been a part of your lifestyle? And you said no, it hasn't.
No, so it hasn't.
You just answered that, really.
Yeah, I did.
We'll go to the next one. Do you have any aspirations to work overseas?
Oh, yes. I was supposed to work overseas last year.
Yes, because I was supposed to take my sister if you couldn't find anyone.
Yeah. So I was supposed to go over and work in the UK last year. I was supposed to film over there. And the only thing was, the deal was that I had to get myself over there. They'd pay me once I was there and stuff, but I had to get my ass over there. my ass did not have the money to pay to fly to the UK over to England. That shit's expensive. So then I was like, I'd started saving money at the beginning of the year, and it was like, yep, nah, by the I'm going to be able to do this, blah, 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 blah. And then the ass fell out of the Australian economy halfway through the year, and that fucked me. Basically, there was no making money, and then it was like having to spend my savings that I did have to survive, to keep working, even just the cost of babysitters. Once the ass fell out of the economy, a lot of the time I didn't make enough money to cover the cost of the babysitter to go to work. So yeah, and then obviously that was last year, and I'd been told that, yeah, I could film this year instead, seeing as that last year had gone to shit. And we all know what happened this year, didn't we? If we thought the arse had dropped out of the economy last year, holy fuck me, Jesus. Now, not only has the arse dropped out of the economy, but that arse has a prolapse as well. It's dropped out of the economy. It's like, fuck me. So, yeah, I would like to get overseas. I would like to film overseas. Yeah, the porn industry in Australia is rather small. So nobody getting rich off the porn industry here in Australia. And nobody's even working full time as a performer in this industry here, other than making your own content if you want to film for studios. Yeah, there's just plain not enough work here. There's not enough opportunities. And I want to grow. I want to grow and spread the love.
Okay, Mom.
Well, okay, I'll spread the ass cheeks.
No, we're right. Okay. How do you find working as a BBW in porn?
Okay, do you understand what BBW means?
Big beautiful woman. I know that one. Woohoo! I don't know the next question one.
Okay, rightio. Working as a BBW in the Australian porn industry is like pushing shit uphill with a stick.
Lovely.
Yeah. Yeah, it's beautiful. So you will find that there's not many studios, Aussie studios. So of the Australian studios, not only is there not many of them, but of the ones there are, some claim to be ethical and diverse and inclusive. And they sound all that on their website. They're very good at talking the talk, so to speak. But they actually have no intention of doing that. And so as a BBW performer in Australia, you will get stuffed around. You will be told all the polite things to your faces and then not get the work. Some studios are known to actually deliberately bully BBWs on set to try and get them not wanting to work. It's a really sad thing. Yeah, the stigma against bigger performers in Australia is very, very real. And it thinks it's crazy because they're huge industries in other countries. There's no reason why it can't be profitable for those studios. It's just you'll find a lot of those studios cast according to the owner's preferences in what they find attractive in women, not in necessarily what the general population or what's can sell. It's actually really sad. Like, I really feel for all the guys that when in bookings they say to me, like, they like this huge big confession, that's this big secret that nobody can ever know, that they actually like bigger women. And so, and this is the thing, society has conditioned them that only skinny women are beautiful, so they can't admit it out loud or to their mates. If their mates ever found out that they like bigger women, oh my God. But the truth is that quite often their mates like bigger women too. Bom, bom, bom. But yeah, there is some studios that aren't dinosaurs in their attitudes towards bigger performers. And you're getting a lot of the new studios coming up that have far more diverse attitudes towards all different performers and want to show real porn instead of the stereotypical old school shit. They want to show diversity and how people actually like it, not. Yeah, and I was just looking forward to doing a whole heap of work with a new studio actually and we had all these shoots lined up and COVID. You know, but I have gotten studio work in Australia with where I have been employed for my anal skills and knowledge.
Oh my gosh.
Rather than my body type, which was nice. Which was nice to get the job on my skills, not ticking the box to get the BBW audience. I was employed as their anal...
No, no, stop. Don't say it again.
Anal
no,
expert.
No, no, don't say it again. Don't even laugh like that, you creep.
Mixer all no, the things were safe on set. No, I don't want to know.
Oh, that's nice, that's nice, that's nice. Are we done with that question?
Oh, what was it? So, what did you say? The next question was about anal and butt play. Oh, sure.
No, I'm scared about the next few questions, to be honest. So I just want to get this over and done with. I'm done for the night. Ooh, too much. I'm learning about my mother in one night.
Wow.
I've never heard any of these stories before, Mum. It's too much. How do you deal with clients, both FSSW and porn, who want taboo services / clips?
I go, pay me the money. Show me the money.
But so you don't really care. Just give me, you get the money, I do it.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. I have very few limits. I don't have issues with people's different kinks, including extreme kinks. I won't allow anything that's going to mark me. Or hurt me. I don't like pain on me. I hurt others. Not people hurt me. No pain on me. The pain on the other people. I fuck up the other people. Right. Yeah. So but yeah, the more uncommon kinks or even the really uncommon kinks, they don't faze me. I find it all fascinating, actually. If somebody comes to me with some fetish I've never heard of before, I don't go, oh, my fucking God. I go, oh, really? And then I want to pick apart their brain to get inside them to understand their fetish really, really well. And that's probably not sexy, but I find it great and lots of fun because then it's always different. It's not the same boring old thing. I think it's great. I'd love the people to come with me with all the uncommon stuff. It's like, fuck yeah. So yes, I'd love the people to come with all the uncommon fetishes. I just don't have, obviously, the stuff for all the uncommon fetishes because, yeah, I don't have a never-ending supply of money to be able to buy all the stuff that I'd love to have. Like, lately, I'm really interested in doing clown porn.
That's disgusting. Fuck off, cunt.
You don't like, that's right, you don't like clowns,
do you? I'm scared of clowns, you know that.
Oh, yeah, that's right, yeah.
Have you seen any of the clown stuff around this room? No, because I made it all get packed into boxes.
I've got one on my TikTok at the moment, actually.
Okay, well, I ain't going on.
Oh, but I wanted to show you my TikTok.
It's a clown.
Oh, but I...
Okay, anyway, to the next question.
But yeah, basically, yeah, no, I don't bat an eyelid. I hold the secrets of a lot of people, and I'm not just clients, a lot of people in my day-to-day life that have fetishes and fantasies that are considered taboo and extreme by other people, and so they're scared to ever tell anybody, but they understand that I totally, like, I don't kink shame. Each to their own. And for me, it's about finding healthy ways to express those things. Like, you could be into crushing animals, which I am really against killing animals for sex, you know, for sexual purposes, just so you get off. That's not okay. But if I can understand how your brain, what it is about that you like, I can find some way to meet you halfway that where you can experience pleasure and enjoy crushing without anything being hurt or harmed. So that's the sort of things, like, I will work with people to find where's the healthy way to express their fetish. So yeah, that's me and all the weird and taboo stuff. It's not that, because fantasy and real life are very different. Fulfill your fantasy without necessarily doing the actual thing in real life.
Okay, what is your ultimate taboo? Didn't you just...
Ultimate taboo?
Yeah.
Ooh, I don't know if it's ultimate, but one of my favourite thing is threesomes with two brothers.
I do them.
Because then it's like, because I do have a bit of an incest roleplay fetish thing happening. What
the, oh my God, I don't want to know that either.
But... You know, but it's like I said, it's the finding, the filling the fantasy without actually doing the thing. So if you have a threesome with two brothers, then you're not actually doing the thing, but it still feels a bit naughty. And I actually like collecting families and stuff.
I'm going to puke.
It's like, ooh, I had each one of them now. I touched a whole set.
To them.
Who needs to collect baseball cards?
Wow. Okay, I've got your last question for you then.
Yep.
Have you had a chance to try? If yes, did it live up to your expectations?
Oh, well, that was the last question on that list of questions. Well, oh gosh, Truth. I've been doing threesomes with brothers since I was a teenager.
Oh my gosh, that's disgusting. Yes, I guess
yeah,
you
there's
do.
That. But like I said, it's not. I don't really have ultimate taboo. There's lots of taboo things I'm into. Like, it's really weird. Like, I say, I don't know. I don't think so. No, can't think of one. Anyway, and then the last one's a question for both of us. I got asked on another platform, because this is the thing, I got asked all across all different platforms. So I've got questions all over the place. The last one for both of us is, would we work together?
No, never in hell. Do you know, my partner's turned around, he's been going to me and goes, let's make a fans only so he can get rich. And I've been like, no way in hell. And he's like, come on, you want to deprive me of this money? I'm like, yeah, I will.
Actually, everybody thinks that's an easy way to get money. It's really not. It's a lot of work for fuck all money.
Because you charge by the pics and that.
No. You charge the subscription.
Don't you? Oh, yeah, that's right.
So they're paying a measly $5-$10 a month, which then OnlyFans or whatever site it is takes their cut out of, which is normally around the 40% mark. So, you know, so then you're getting fuck all left. Not to mention, don't forget, the bank takes their charges out of that as well. So then you get fuck all left that people are expecting you to put up stuff 2 to 3 times a week minimum for $5-$10. No, it was hard to hustle and make your money on that before COVID. Since COVID, where everybody's out of work, everybody's got one. The market's flooded. People that I know that used to do like really well off it, or like all having to have half price sales because the market's flooded. People I know that used to make really good money just doing photos of themselves, like doing selfie, like, or sexual solo photos, are now having to do porn with other people to make the money. They're still not as much as what they did before because the market is just flooded.
Mm-hmm.
So it was hard before, now it's hella hard. So yeah, and OnlyFans, I don't like that site. They're unethical.
It's not a site, Mum.
Yes, it is.
Mum, are you talking about the thing that's run through Snapchat?
No, well, doing Snapchat stuff is different again.
Well, that's what we're talking about, the Snapchat through OnlyFans. That's what I was talking about. That's what most people do these days. That's why the joke was about that, because that's what everyone does.
Well, yes, but OnlyFans is a platform.
Oh, whatever. Same thing, different chisel.
Okay. I could get you all political and all the different...
Oh, my God. I'm too tired for your politicalness.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Anyway, peoples, just letting you know, if you do want to do subscription sites, I would recommend just for fans. Not only fans. Nope. Nope. They are an anti-sex worker. They are unethical. They actually have a clause where they can use your content you post on there and use it wherever the hell they like it. And, you know, all these other things. So, no, if you would ask me my recommendation for what sort of fan site to go with, I do think a lot of just for fans. And with them, you have the option, you could do a subscription service or a buy per clip sort of thing. Yeah. Anyway. So, my answer to the question, you've answered it. Now I get to answer it. So, that person wasn't specific about what kind of work. So, I say, we already work together. We work on the podcast. Duh. And that was on one of the podcast socials too. They asked that. So, really, they should know. But if he's talking thank the wall stuff, oh, hella no. Oh, hella no. That's where I draw the line. Even me with an incest fetish.
That's gross.
That's fucking, yeah. When people talk to me and say, like, when they find I have an adult daughter and go, hey, how about a threesome? And I just feel sick to the stomach. I'm all like, it's like, oh, fuck no. If I thought the person was hot before they said that, once they said that, I'm like, ew, get away from me. No, thank you. Ew. Because once again, it's the fantasy over the reality. It's fun to play with the dirty fantasy. The reality is a bit more, no. That's just no. I actually had clients even that are collectors, could you say, like me, and want to collect the set, and have like been willing to throw thousands of dollars at me if they could book my daughter. And I'm like, fuck no. My daughter, you know, I don't have anything against my children doing sex work if they were in the right mental state and had the right personalities to survive it. Sex work is a really, it's an emotionally, high in emotional labor. It sucks the life out of you as far as emotional labor goes. Not to mention you need to have the thickest skin. You got a thick skin that's like Teflon, that shit just, oh, fuck me, geez. The stuff you have to deal with sex work, having to deal with people trying to manipulate, use you. And I'm not just talking about clients. I'm talking about managers even in brothels and stuff like that. You know, and the other workers can be nasty as well. There's all sorts of shit that you have to deal with that sex industry is not the right industry. For more mazza. It's one of those jobs that, like, teaching. Yeah, only certain people should be teachers.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's the same with sex work. Only certain people should be sex workers. And the wrong people that go into teaching can end up with mental breakdowns from the stress of it and the strain of dealing with kids that are little, being little bastards to them. And the same thing can happen with sex work. Yeah, you've got to be the right personality to do it. So in other words, no, fuck off. I'll not fuck my daughter. I know you can't fuck us together. I know you can't fuck her on her own. No. But yeah, yes, we'll work together on the podcast. And maybe do photos of feet together. Yeah, look at our feet.
Feet now are gross.
You can click that shit, bitch. You could have the toenails, you know, matching paint and everything set, or the toe jam set, or the... Oh, Mazza just gave me a filthy look. Oh, nope, she's going to vomit. The hands over the mouth.
I don't like feet, and you're talking about toe jam, the thing that makes grosses me out the most about feet.
What about the...
No, stop!
No. Okay. So... Hey, Mazza.
Mala.
Got any questions for me?
Nah, not tonight.
No, you know what? You think we've done enough questions?
Yeah, there's been a whole lot.
Has been a whole lot. Has it been fun, though?
So much fun, Mum.
You know what? I've got a question.
Yes,
no.
Mum.
Do you listen to the song Sex Pants, right?
What the fuck is the song Sex Pants?
It's the song we got at the end of the episodes now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Did you notice the line where she goes... How many fists can my fat ass take?
No.
Two to three. I said, how many fists can my fat ass take? Two to three. You've not noticed that line.
I didn't listen to the whole thing. I was too busy pissing myself laughing at a point.
Okay. Well, I admit I didn't pick up on it on the first time I listened to it either. And then I noticed it did. And then I'm like, is she an anal trainer too? Have I found another fellow female anal fistique? There's not that many of us in Australia. It's like, is she in our little club? Can we get t-shirts and stuff? And if so, then that makes it even more perfect for us. I'm really curious. Should I ask?
No.
Yeah, it might be rude, eh?
You think?
I wish I could take two. So, it's getting a little bit chilly. I know we're a bit short tonight. Although I'm always a bit short. But... yeah, at least we got something for peoples and stuff. And I suppose if we get stuck in lockdown for ages, if we can't make it work long distance, then we'll have to do more of a Mum Unleashed episodes where I go out and about in the world and talk to peoples. Without Mazza there to keep me behaving and grounded and a good little... mummy. PC? Maybe? No cussing? Two to three.
Mom, stop. You're annoying.
Well, I'm annoying, honey.
And I'm Maz.
I'm also known as Miss Honey Anal Vuka. And you're also known as Mazza.
Yep.
And this is...
my mum's a porn star.
Pushing shit uphill with a stick. ooh, I've got our new end of show phrase. Get sexually edumacated. Say, everybody. Get sexually edumacated. See you next time. You can find us on Patreon and Facebook under the pages My Mum is a Porn Star. You can find us on Twitter at Mum Porn Star, capital M, capital P, and on Insta. My mum is a P underscore Orn Star. That's My Mum is a Porn Star with an underscore after the P. Intro music credit to Ruben Wall for Funky Porno Music, and outro music credit to Birthday Loyalty Club for Sex Pants. And if you're lucky, after the outro music, you might even find some outtakes. I see you there with your sexy genders, checking me out in my hot suspenders, looking at my nice shirt, shaking your hips, looking down at my pants and licking your lips. Cut a hole in the crotch and my clit hang loose, cut a gap in the back for my big caboose. You sweating hard for the vibes I'm sending, I'm in my sex pants. Patent pending. Sex pants, that's what I'm wearing. They keep staring at my sex pants. Big international effects pants. Sex pants, there ain't no clothing that's exposing, that's my sex pants. Storm at speech, measure badge in your face like a ravenous leech. I'm a saucy, sexy son of a mum. When my flaps fly free, straight from the cum. Then I slide across the floor on my slippery cunt, like an arrow slug on a libidinous hunt. And yell, how many fists can my big ass take?
2, 3, 2, 3.
I said, how many fists can my big ass take?
We already told you, 2, 3.
Sex pants, that's what I'm wearing. Please keep staring at my sex pants.
Now you can watch me flex pants.
Sex pants, there ain't no clothing that's exposing, that's my sex.
In the corner with my tonic and gin. See the girl, see the pants, see the hole, see the skin. Strutting her stuff, looking all obscene. Shaking that ass like it's on caffeine. So I tear a little hole in my corduroy shorts, pull one nut out and...
Hey! Who's this prick? Get out! Get out! Rude! Rude!
Sex pants, I'm feeling awful and remorseful in my sex.
Yo, yo, never forget, Mount Vesuvius, 79 AD, we love you.
Oh, I had my microphone turned off. Oops.